Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Severe weather is impacting numerous areas around the country. CBS's Steve Futterman.
In the south, they were cleaning up from tornadoes. Kathy Harris left her home near Griffin, Georgia, before a tree fell right into her living room.
Normally, that's the part where I sit.
This man couldn't escape. He had to hide.
The wind picked up really hard. Next thing you start seeing debris and stuff start coming. Me and her, we just jumped in the closet.
Meanwhile, in already rain-soaked California, another storm is dropping more rain, renewing fears of dangerous mudslides. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
The White House says it has been transparent about the discovery of documents marked classified and found at two Biden locations late last year and promises to cooperate with the special counsel. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
When it comes to the Justice Department, they say they are fully cooperating with the investigation and providing whatever information and documents that those investigators are asking for. The other question here is the matter of transparency with the American public. In the White House, President Biden himself knew about that first batch of documents in November, November 2nd. The reason why Republicans are especially pointing this out is because the election for midterms happened less than a week after that.
President Biden and Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida have held wide-ranging talks at the White House today. Biden assures Japan's Prime Minister.
To be crystal clear, the United States is fully, thoroughly, completely committed to the alliance.
Police in Newport News, Virginia, say that they learned a school employee was notified about a possible gun at Richneck Elementary School before the six-year-old student shot his teacher, Abigail Zwerner. According to the school system, the student's backpack was searched after they got the tip, but no gun was found. Police say they were not told about the tip before the shooting. School board chair Lisa Searles Law on a change being made.
Among other strategies and safeguards, walk-through metal detectors will be in place and used for all students, faculty, staff, and visitors to Richneck upon school reopening.
Climate activists descend on the small town of Luzara, Germany, which is going to be demolished to make room for the expansion of a nearby open-pit coal mine. Greta Thunberg is among those protesting.
They should stop this destruction immediately and also secure a just transition and climate justice for all. This is only a part of a global climate movement, and we stand together in solidarity.
Nova the leopard has been found after a day-long search at the Dallas Zoo. She was discovered close to her habitat, and evidence was found that her fence had been intentionally cut. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up 113 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's Choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Civic Media. I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. There may be a partial solution to the problem of affordable housing in Wisconsin. Since the 1960s, local governments have zoned many districts to be exclusively for single-family homes. Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Jerry DeShane, tells Wisconsin Public Radio tweaking these codes could help solve the housing crisis because offering flexibility for multifamily housing units and mixed-use housing developments would address many issues. More money being invested in helping Wisconsin veterans and their families. Governor Evers and Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary James Bond announced grant awards to provide financial assistance, entrepreneurship training, and other services to improve employment opportunities. Universities, homeless assistance organizations, and veteran centers were among the recipients of the $420,000 in grants. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Save my soul. Let music. Oh.
Hit it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
And never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. So much to get to. So much to talk about. Religion Incorporated has a new lobbyist. And America is about to be the most religious country on the planet. Religion is back, baby. It's only going to take one Supreme Court case because today the Supreme Court decided that they're going to rule on extending federal civil rights to religious folk, so that they can take time off work for religious observation. And look, I'm not against it. When I was a kid, we still had blue laws in a lot of places where Sundays, those were churching days. Workers had off on Sundays. I know, shocking, right? Not everything was open on Sundays. And we kind of survived and maybe had more family cohesion. So I'm not totally against the idea of having family time, shutting down a little bit, not entirely against. Now, the flip side could cause more divorces because a lot of people I know not thrilled with the family unit could cause tension. Might need more police, more mental health professionals, but that might be a good thing. Might help society heal a little bit. Might be good, but we're going to make religion great again because the justices are going to rule. Evidently, this is coming because a former U.S. postal worker, an evangelical Christian, was disciplined because he refused to show up on Sundays. You take the job that says it's Tuesday, Wednesday through Sunday, Sunday's a work day. Well, the court, I think, is going to, I really, again, this is one of those, you don't need to be clairvoyant. You don't need the crystal ball. I think I know which way they're going to go with this. They're going to give people the ability to claim religion, religious liberty and religious freedom, and to tell the boss no under the name of religion. Now, telling the boss no because you're paying me crummy wages, telling the boss no because we're not getting decent health care or retirement security, that's off the table. Because as the Supreme Court is moving to take workers' rights away in the world of fighting for better wages, hours, and conditions, they're going to replace those union rights with the kind of pie in the sky, thoughts and prayers, kind of help for you to, feed your kids that way. How very Republican. Yeah. And again, this is very predictable in the fascistic turn we are taking, where we're going to be pumping this kind of stuff at every turn. At every turn. Now, here's the other part of this. Where I worked for many years, if you had to work on Sundays, they would make some kind of reasonable accommodations for people who were on call. You get a slide. If you really were going to church, reality, I think most people are going to become very religious once this comes because they just don't want to go to work. I think, and in fact, I've been thinking about it today. When this ruling comes down, we will be launching the Church of Collective Bargaining so that we can say, you know, just you're going to a union meeting is a religious experience, which employers should have to, because there's a church now. There is a Church of Collective Bargaining and the Supreme Court, because this is how this stuff goes, right? We're going to make these special carve-outs. Going to be interesting and fun to watch. Now, to all my liberal progressive folks who think MSNBC is their media savior, sorry, they're not. Corporate America hates working people as much as Republicans do. Probably a little bit more. A story came out today that MSNBC and had I'm not really sure if they fired, laid them off without any negotiations, but the union members there, they laid a bunch of them off. And it's one of these things where they just unilaterally, without consulting the union, without honoring the contract, without any of this stuff, went and did what corporate America feels that they have the power to do. And that is create at-will employment across the board and not really give a tinker's damn about working people. And, you know, corporations do this stuff all the time. The fact that it's MSNBC shouldn't be a shock. It's a corporation. But this is one of those moments where I have to question, you know, where do we get news for the working class when the people who we're getting it from hate the working class? I mean, this is where, you know, programs like ours and others are really important, because this is a moment where I'm not seeing the MSNBC hosts. I haven't. Maybe there's somebody out there. Where is the protest to stand in solidarity with these workers who have been abruptly and illegally laid off? Now, the union has filed an NLRB charge, but as you know, look, the unfair labor practices and illegal firings in this country are slap on the wrist. They'll have to post a notice. Oh, we promise. We won't do it again until the next time. And they'll pay back pay minus whatever these folks, because they got to go out and get other jobs to rents due. So the penalty is not there. And this, again, is why we need a bunch of things. We need comprehensive major labor law reform that encourages workers to join and form unions and has real teeth to hold companies accountable when they break the law and they break the contracts. But also, we need to move to a more militant society where we hold these companies accountable. The sad reality is, we don't. And corporate America knows our attention span is very short, especially on these issues. And they get whatever they want. For instance, I came across this piece over at the Wall Street Journal. The Government Accountability Office came out with a report today. Sure, you didn't hear much about it. But the effective corporate tax rate for large, profitable companies. Now, remember, we've been talking about the Trump tax code, the big accomplishment during the Trump years, which was that giant handout to the wealthy in corporate America. We've been talking about this for a while. But the Government Accountability Office said after that tax change, it's amazing. It really is. The tax rate on these companies went down 9%. And the share of large profitable companies paying no corporate taxes was 34% in 2018, up from 25% average over the 5 years prior. So you go, well, what does that mean? That means, simply, the Trump tax code is working. The Trump tax code is working exactly how it was supposed to, how it was planned, how it was gamed out. And how is that? Well, to make corporate America wealthier, to make the wealthy wealthier, and to make you and me and the rest of the working people, that's right, pay for it. This isn't rocket science. And all of this stuff comes together. We've got a mainstream corporate-controlled media that feeds us outrage candy at every opportunity. to keep us pitted against each other so we never really look at what's really important or how bad we're being fleeced. We've got a Supreme Court now that's pimping religion and going to be doing that because we're going to be a very religious society. Not godly, not spiritual, not decent, but religious. Just so we can get a day off from work because a lot of us are working 6 days a week, 7 days a week. And we've got a government that's broken because it's bought and paid for by the people that, well, we gave huge tax cuts to. Because as I say, you know, every time a corporation gets a tax cut, a Republican congressman gets a donation. And this is where we are. Angry yet? Ready to do something about it? Got an election coming up in a year and a half. Start planning now. Make your plan to vote. Keep abreast of all of the attacks that are coming on in legislatures across the country as conservatives continue to do what they do best, put roadblocks between you and your ballot box so that they can continue to do what? Well, take money out of your pocket and put it into theirs. I want to hear your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. Going to take a quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. If you're a fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible 2-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, a listener who knows that I like the old Beatles song. I like the old Beatles songs. Big Beatles fan it was something that was, you know, big when I was a kid. He sent me a Ringo Starr quote. And for the record, I like Peter Best better. But supposedly Ringo said, quote, "Everything government touches turns to crap." Now, you know, these are easy quips. We could all say it. You know, we could easily say because government's easy to blame for everything. Since government does decide who gets what, kind of easy to point the finger. Now, if you believe as I do, that we are the government, I could take Ringo's quote and I can flip that around a little bit and turn it into everything that we touch turns to crap. But I'm not going to do that because we don't really run our government because we're too busy being force-fed a steady diet of outrage candy and bread and circus. You know, they're coming for the stoves. They're coming for the stoves. No more light bulbs. No more hamburgers. We're going to have to, I remember this, we're going to have to read by candlelight with ethically gathered wax from bees only if we can get their consent. You know, how extreme they take this stuff. And we buy it. We swallow it whole. And the sad reality is we can't have an honest conversation about public health or sound policy without the outrage merchants spinning their conspiracy of MS-13 stove troopers around every corner, lurching around every corner, going to steal your burners. Actually, they're going to take the little metal plates off the top so you can't put the pan on it. Or the nanny state. This is my other favorite one. You know, those nanny state Democrats out to ruin all of our fun. Not going to have the 10-gallon toilets to flush anymore. We can't let our kids eat the have the simple pleasure. Why can't we have our children have the simple pleasure of a handful of lead paint chips before dinner? You know, it's going to ruin their appetite, of course. How come we can't have those asbestos blankets back anymore? Because it's bad for you, morons. You don't do that. We learned. We learned. And this is the sad reality of the place that we're in. And the reason I bring this up is because The Guardian, which actually I think does some really good reporting, had a piece yesterday on Exxon. And we've kind of known this over the years that, look, Exxon, they know their business better than anyone. Corporate America knows exactly what they're doing. They know what they're polluting, who they're killing. They know all. They've done the risk-benefit analysis. They know how much your life is worth in a lawsuit for them to continue doing bad things until it becomes the point where they have to change it because it's going to cost them too much. They got it. They know your life is worth X amount of dollars, and they're willing to sacrifice you, whether it's tires or chemicals or lead paint. We now find out, most recent trove of information from Exxon, that, they were spot on. As early as the 1950s, they knew what burning fossil fuels was going to do to our environment. In the 70s, they were spot on accurate. And in many cases, ahead of the scientific community, because after all, they're better paid than academics, to know exactly what the liabilities were going to be. In essence, they knew what they were doing to this planet and didn't give a tinker's damn, because at the end of it, it's all about short-term profits. We'll put money in my pocket, making sure my kids got G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. For those of you in my generation, that was a big deal. Little hands on the G.I. Joe dolls that move. Now, way out of the ballpark. But this is the part that's frustrating. Because you look at this stove controversy. There's some real science behind the reality that these cause some illnesses. Nobody's talking about banning them. They were saying it might be on the table at some point, because this is causing real damage, it's causing real harm to some people. And maybe as a health advisory, if you are someone who's subject to having asthmatic episodes, maybe, here's the thought, maybe you should consider not having one of these. What's frustrating is, as I said, we've got these outrage merchants. We've got these front groups. We've got this media culture funded by these people. Because as they point out, Exxon knew exactly what they were doing. They knew how much damage they were doing to the planet, and they poo-pooed it all away. They funded groups to deny their own science. They funded groups to mock their own science. They mobilized media, the academics, politicians. They mobilized the whole machine to tell us what is, isn't. And it was easy. It really was. Because we want to believe that the easy way is, or the way we've always done it, is the right way. I'm the same way. Look, I'm struggling with the Brave New World. I like my gas-guzzling Jeep. I mean, it gets a lot better than mileage than the last thing I had, and better than the last thing I had before that. But I like my Jeep. I like it. But the reality is we're moving towards a time where, what are we leaving our kids? What are we leaving the future? And when can we get back to having actual conversations about sound policy and how we don't end up killing off thousands of people just for the purpose of profits? This is where our government was supposed to be helping us. And I go back to when I was a kid growing up. You know, the 1970s was a polluted era. And we passed the Clean Water and Clean Air Act. I grew up in Cleveland, home of the Clean Water and Air Act. You know, as a kid, the only fish I ever saw in Lake Erie were floating sideways, looking up in the sky with one eye. For those who don't know what that means, they were dead. Because the water was so bad. We didn't swim in Lake Erie. It was so bad. We passed a law. We cleaned it up. I think now, today, could we pass such landmark legislation? Could we do that? For instance, right? There's been legislation in the House that passed the House, died in the Senate, to regulate these forever chemicals, these PFAs. These are stuff that are never going to break down. They're made. These are for to resist water, to resist staining, resist heat. They're called forever chemicals because they don't naturally break down. We have no idea what to do with them. And in many cases, they're linked to high cancer rates, high cholesterol, liver disease, kidney disease, all kinds of fetal complications, all kinds of things. We can do nothing to move on this, to find better alternatives. Nothing. Because, well, we've got a Senate hell-bent on things going to die, smart policy going to die. And you go, but the Democrats, they controlled everything. Yeah, sans Joe Manchin, which I don't know if you noticed yesterday. Joe Manchin's chief of staff, Lance West, he was named vice president of federal government relations for, you want to guess who? I know you can guess. The American Petroleum Institute. Yeah. The oil and gas people, the ones who've been lying to you all these years, but no, climate, it's all a hoax. Don't worry. You can suck the fumes right out of your tailpipe. It's good for you. Not a cough in a tailpipe. Where's Reagan when we need him for a catch line like that? And you wonder why we can't seem to get anything done. Because the moneyed interests have got us by the moneyed interests have got us. And we're too easily divided. And the sad reality is it's smart people who have done this to us. When Donald Trump said he loves the poorly educated, he loves the poorly educated because they're tired of getting duped by the smart people. And they don't want to hear anything from anyone. And this is a scary place for us to be in. Because we're not going to be able to control what happens in the future. And that is just fine and dandy with corporate America. Because they can continue to make their cancer agent chemicals. They can continue to spray our food with... I had a conversation with a guy the other day who was saying, he's a part-time farmer. He can't make a living as a full-time farmer, so he works, drives a truck, and his family does some family farming. And he says, what Monsanto has done to the farming industry, nobody knows just how criminal it is. These proprietary seeds, and then the Roundup in everything we eat, the chemicals that have invaded our food supply. Because it came up, we were talking about food from Europe, and he was explaining the difference on how they regulate, and there's not all this stuff in there, and they're healthier. And I said, well, could it be that they have a national healthcare system, that the external costs don't roll down? And he didn't really agree, but it's a thought. But here's the bottom line. Until we figure out how to rein in corporate America and corporate power, we're going to continue to get outraged like they're coming for the stoves. And the next one will be even more ludicrous and even more ludicrous. When you've literally got Congress people saying, God, guns, and gas stoves. When you've got congressional representatives saying, you'll pry my gas stove from my cold, dead hands. You've got real problems. Now, I'm sure there's going to be an investigation into Stovegate. I'm sure they will find a stove trooper somewhere, and we will continue to play these games out, especially through the right-wing media spaces. So again, keeping us outraged, keeping us pitted against each other, and not talking about how we solve, actual problems. Like getting forever chemicals out of our food supply so that those forever chemicals don't get into our body and, put an end to our bodies that are not forever. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, you will find ours, from iTunes to Stitcher to Podbean and everywhere in between. Going to take a quick break. When we come back and talk about, remember that whole pandemic thing? You remember those essential frontline heroes?
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. At least 9 people have died in tornadoes in Alabama and Georgia. This man lives in Autauga County, Alabama.
Now, we were in this closet right here whenever the storm come through. And as I turned to look to shut the door, I seen the bedroom windows get sucked out and everything in the bedroom just went out the window.
Newport News Virginia police say a school official was told that a 6-year-old had a gun, but none was found before the shooting of a teacher. Parent Amanda D'Onofrio demands better security.
Seeing it as a member of the American public is frustrating, and it makes us angry. The measures that they have in place as security at the moment are inadequate.
Lisa Marie Presley will be buried at Graceland next to her son, who died in 2020. Fans at Graceland, after learning of her death after being rushed to an L.A. hospital for cardiac arrest.
I think Lisa Marie has just been this big light in, like, showing the good in Elvis.
I mean, I just think it's so tragic. She's so young.
She was 54. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Therapists, social workers, and counselors in Wisconsin can resume trying to change clients' gender identities and sexual orientations. The Evers administration banned conversion therapy in 2020, but Republicans who control the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules lifted the ban yesterday. LGBTQ rights advocates say conversion therapy has been debunked and is even harmful. A Republican member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he stands by what he said in an email praising lower voter turnout among Black and Hispanic voters in Milwaukee in November. Other members of the bipartisan panel say they want Robert Spindell to resign, but Spindell says he's staying put. In sports, the Bucks fell to Miami last night 108-102. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes. You've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Court for reform, go to fixthecourt.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So everyone's crazy about the inflation. I hear about it every day. Every day. Inflation's out of hand. Joe Biden's fault. You know what I haven't heard here in the last couple of days? Inflation coming down a little bit. Things are working. Some of the things that the Biden administration has been doing, you know, lowering drug prices, you know, fighting some of that energy price stuff, you know, actually finding some relief for us, we the folk. and here to share some thoughts on where we are with regard to the inflation numbers and if the policies are truly working and what we need to do going forward. I've asked Gene Ross to come talk with us. Gene is a senior fellow of economic policy over at the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, their website, if you want to check out the work that they do. Gene, thanks for taking time for us.
Pleased to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So we see these numbers, inflation numbers coming down, airline tickets price coming down, gas prices down, food prices a little bit. Things are moving in the right direction, considering we're still not too far in the rearview mirror with that massive global pandemic thing that you might remember. Are we heading in the right direction?
We are headed in the right direction, and good news is always good news. We've seen inflation slowing actually over the past 6 months, and in the past month, it actually went negative, just by 0.1%, but you know that's definitely headed in the right direction.
Now, how much can this be attributed to Biden's policies? How much is this the Fed taking both feet and slamming on the brakes, wanting to cause unemployment? How much of this is that or the other thing, or is it something else?
It's definitely a mix of both. And thank you for highlighting the fact that it didn't just happen. This isn't the invisible hand of the economy that we sometimes hear about. It really did take a lot of work. And you mentioned, Rick, gas prices, big drop over the last several months means a lot to families around the country. And if you look at some of the efforts that the administration has undertaken, pulling gas out of our strategic petroleum reserves to help push more supply into the market, diplomatic efforts to try and stabilize gas prices, because we know that, you know, a lot of that rise in gas prices is due to Russia's war in Ukraine, which has pushed prices higher. And so we've seen the administration try to bring on some domestic supply, bring prices down, but also in global markets, stabilize prices. We've seen efforts that the administration has undertaken. You talked about food. Again, still, you know, one of the, you know, troubling spots in the inflation picture, but the administration has begun to chip away at that. Things like looking at the big meat packing houses and how can they sort of break up the power of the big packing houses, protect farmers' livelihoods on the one hand, but also bring down prices for consumers on the other. So, yes, there's some very, very deliberate efforts that have helped, you know, rein inflation into control, and certainly also the role of the Federal Reserve in terms of bumping up interest rates.
Now, personally, I'm not the economist here, but personally, I think they're going way too far. Because I don't think wage inflation is a problem yet, but you know this is what they've chosen to do, and I fear they're going to cause the other problem, which would be a recession. Do you have the same fears?
I think that's certainly a danger. And again, what we've seen is we're still seeing incredibly strong job growth, which is again the good news. About a week ago, we saw the jobs report for December come out. Still seeing a lot of jobs, but again, slowing. And that's really, again, sort of what in some ways we'd like to see. We want to see growth, but we also want to see sustainable growth. With inflation coming down, job growth getting at a level that really, you know, we can expect to keep going for the long term. I think there is some real danger that if the Federal Reserve, you know, pushes too hard, we could see the economy sliding back towards an economic downturn.
Now, you brought up something a minute ago that is, you know, front and center with me is, you know, these corporations have consolidated to the point to where there's really not that much competition left in the market. And we, our friends over at the Groundwork Collaborative, you know, spent a lot of exhaustive amount of time listening to earnings calls, listening to corporate America brag about how much profits they had and how many stock buybacks they're going to engage in and all of this stuff. And you go, explain to me again where the inflation's coming from, because I'm struggling with who to blame in this. Is it Joe Biden's fault? If you listen to any conservative, absolutely, Joe Biden did all this. Is it the global pandemic, or is it just good old-fashioned American greed? Opportunism. Corporate America sees a good opportunity to fatten that bottom line, buy back those shares of stock, and make that CEO fat and happy. I guess maybe I see it that way. I'm curious if where you find yourself.
You know, I think there are a lot of things that are going on in the economy. I think certainly front and center is that impact of the pandemic, what it did to supply chains, and I think it exposed some of the problems in our economy. And again, we've seen the administration take a lot of steps, some of which are just coming online really over the next year, to strengthen our domestic supply chains.
Yeah, I love the fact that the chips bill, I love the fact that they're talking about reshoring manufacturing. But I've been screaming about that for 15 years. It's what we need to do to I'm a big fan of domestic production for domestic consumption. It's what we need to be doing.
Yeah, so we're beginning to see that happen. We've seen, you know, efforts to sort of, you know, build port capacity just so we can get things that are still coming into this country to, you know, both for consumption and also for the goods we produce here. We've seen steps taken there. So I think it's certainly the impact of the pandemic, people, you know, changing how we live our lives. Since then, we've shifted what we buy, what we spend our money on. So that's still sort of working its way through in the changes in the economy. You know, the war in Ukraine is a huge factor in the global economy. And we talked about energy prices. That also has a big impact on food prices, because yeah, Ukraine was a huge food exporter. And because of the war, they're not able to fulfill the role that they've played in international food markets.
Yeah, the breadbasket of Europe.
The breadbasket of Europe. So we've seen a lot of different things taking place. And certainly, you know, we've seen some very large profits made over the last couple of years. And to what extent we've seen companies take advantage of some of these difficulties, I think a lot we still need to understand about what's going on in the economy now.
Instead of having, you know, hearings in Congress about they're coming for your stoves, maybe we should find out where, hey, they took your wallet. Where's the Harry Truman of today? Where are those people? Where are the profiteers fighting for those, to get those profiteers? You're listening to the Rick Smith Show with Gene Ross. He's a senior fellow of economic policy over at the Center for American Progress. AmericanProgress.org is their website if you want to check out some of the work that they do there. Because, you know, here's the thing. Today we get these numbers coming out from the Government Accountability Office that points out that Trump's tax scheme is working as planned. It is full tilt boogie in the direction that they intended it to be, which is corporate America paying far less in taxes. In fact, as they point out, these big, large companies, these profitable companies, saw the number of them paying no taxes decline to 9% in 2018, down from 16%. You now have them paying, or the number of corporations paying no taxes was 34%. In 2018, up from 25%. So basically what's happening, corporations are saving a whole boatload of money, and we're picking up the tab through higher prices and more, well, more pain and suffering. I got to tell you, I hear all of this stuff that you laid out. I add this to the top of it. I can't believe things aren't worse.
Well, I think, again, one of the things that we saw last year that, you know, hopefully will begin to get at the problem that you just talked of, very large, very profitable companies paying no taxes whatsoever. As part of the Inflation Reduction Act Congress passed and the president signed into law last summer, we now have a corporate profits minimum tax for huge corporations that are making a lot of money. That will set a floor and say you ought to pay at least 15% of your profits in tax. So I think, again, a step forward that we've seen to begin to address.
Yeah, you know, baby step. It's a baby step, but it's a step.
I think I'd call that one a big step. I think it actually was and it's an important conceptual step forward that says if you're big, if you make a lot of money, you ought to be paying your fair share of taxes.
Now, the reason I bring this up is because, you know, look, families are struggling. I mean, the pain and the suffering out there is real for the working class in this country. And I go back to something you had written back in November, I believe it was, where you talked about the need for Congress to prioritize families over corporate tax breaks, to prioritize the child tax credit over these corporate tax breaks. There are policies we can be moving forward on through our government to help alleviate some of the pain and suffering, especially if there is a recession coming. Where would you, if you had the magic wand, where would you be moving us toward? What kind of policy directives would you be pursuing?
I think you mentioned the child tax credit that was, during the pandemic, expanded both in the number of families that received the credit, also the size of the credit. I think we had hoped to see in the end of year spending bill that Congress passed, we had hoped to see some of those improvements continued.
Yeah, but it didn't work, Jean. It didn't work. It only alleviated half of childhood poverty in the country. So it clearly didn't work.
An unprecedented drop in child poverty that we saw because of that credit. I think that certainly would be on the top of the agenda. Raising the minimum wage, tying it to inflation, would certainly be another area that we could look at. I think a lot of the policy changes, we've really had a big year last year. We talked about the CHIPS bill, we talked about the Inflation Reduction Act, the Infrastructure Act that Congress passed, and I think now really making sure that those policies get implemented, that the benefits go out to communities around the country, is really job one.
No, I'm right there with you. And what we need to do is we also need to produce giant 20-foot cardboard cutouts of Joe Biden pointing, saying, "I did that." Because ultimately, you know, all these things are going to happen. Things are going to get better and nobody's going to know about it. This is one thing Democrats do. And you don't need to weigh in on this. This is me. This is things Democrats do terrible jobs of. They don't toot their own horn. If Donald Trump would have done any of this stuff, any of it, it would have been the greatest thing in the history of humanity. And he would have taken credit for it. He took credit for stuff that he didn't even do. So it's not surprising to me that people think, oh, no, he passed an infrastructure bill. Oh, no, he passed a housing bill. No, didn't. Biden did that. And you need to start pointing this stuff out as this stuff comes on, as we're rebuilding infrastructure, as drug prices are coming down. In fact, I want that idiot sticker that people were putting on gas pumps as the prices are coming down, going, yeah, Biden actually did do that. Just my thoughts. So the next question, so that you can now weigh in. I'm sorry, sometimes I go off on these weird, these angry tangents. You laid out a couple of really smart policy ideas, raising the minimum wage, tacking it to inflation, considering we haven't raised the minimum wage in, what is it now, 13 years, and certainly haven't even considered putting it towards inflation, the earned income tax credit, which helps children and families. What are the chances of any of this stuff happening in the new McCarthy era of them controlling the House?
It's certainly going to be a much tougher environment to get bills passed through Congress over the next year. Won't be overly optimistic on this one. And again, I think there's some good policies out there. There may be in the child credit, for example, I think there potentially is some room for some progress going forward, but it definitely will be a much tougher climate.
Last question I've got for you. I want you to put your wonk hat on for a second, but maybe a little messaging in it. Biden's going to be giving his State of the Union address on February 7th. What's the spin on inflation? What's the message here? What do you think his talking points are going to be?
I think his talking point should be that we've seen incredible progress, and it took a lot of hard work. It definitely took, you know, actions of this administration going forward. We've seen incredible job growth. And I think I would, you know, underscore that one. Stunning job growth, you know, since the darkest days of the pandemic going forward. A lot of good, promising news on the horizon. Again, implementing the infrastructure bill, prescription drug prices coming under control over the next year. And I think, you know, a lot to make sure that everything that's been done actually gets implemented and we begin to see some real gains for America's families.
Yeah, this is where Joe Biden needs to invoke his inner Bob Dole and start talking about himself in the third person. Joe Biden did that. Drug prices down, Joe Biden did that. Gas prices down, Joe Biden did that. That's where I would go. But Gene, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Good talking with you.
Thank you. It's great talking to you, and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Thanks so much. Gene Ross, she is a senior fellow over at the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, the website. Let's take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. What should Joe Biden talk about in the State of the Union? And do you agree? Should he go all Bob Dole? I think it's a good idea. Back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1868. Representatives from more than 40 locals of the International Union of Bricklayers of North America gathered in New York City. It was the third annual convention of the new union. Members of Local 4 from New York City came to the convention to push for support for the 8-hour day. They also called upon the other unions to stand with their local if they went out on strike to win the 8-hour day. After the Civil War, the idea of an 8-hour workday had increasingly become a rallying cry for workers. Skilled craftsmen, such as bricklayers, would help to lead the charge. In 1910, Johns Hopkins University published a report on the bricklayers' contribution to this important labor struggle. According to their report, the convention decided not to press the 8-hour question at that time. Although the resolution for the 8-hour day had not become a part of the union's formal platform, there was growing member support for the cause. That year, Local 4 went out on strike to win the 8-hour day. They were joined by New York Locals 2 and 12. The young union had little experience with leading such an action. But as the report points out, the workers were, quote, routed and all, but went to pieces. The flame of the idea of the 8-hour workday continued to spread across the international. By the next year's convention, it had caught fire. The resolution for the 8-hour workday was adopted and became an official demand of the Bricklayers Union. 4 years later, the New York locals again went out on strike. This time, the more experienced unions found success. And as the report concluded, in just one day, the men won the shorter day on their own terms. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in Two.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind? You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So Democrats aren't going to do what Republicans did during the January 6th committee. You may remember Kevin McCarthy, which I couldn't believe. I thought it was really the dumbest idea ever to not participate in the January 6th committee. I thought it was stupid. You know, it's like anything. And I guess it shows a lot of the decision-making. And you didn't hear about that at all during his vote for speakership. At least I didn't. If I were a Republican and I was being forced to vote for him, the decision making in the moment kind of something important. Well, Democrats are going to participate in these select committees, and I think it's the right thing. You need to be there. You need to scrutinize. You need to bring additional information. You need to make sure that there's a full picture. The idea for these committees, and this is where things have gotten really off the rails since Jim Jordan's arrival. These are not attack vehicles. These are not supposed to be things that, oh my gosh, what can I say that's going to get me on the F channel, or what's going to get me invited on the podcast circuit? It's about actually finding what went wrong. It's about actually solving a problem. identifying and solving problems. It's about making things better instead of how can we beat up the other side. It's about accountability and transparency. And sadly, these hearings haven't been about that, well, for a very long time. And I guess you could argue, if ever. But the reality for me is you got to have both sides. Now, Republicans refused to sit on the January 6th committee, which I think would have given a much fuller picture. I mean, I wanted Scott Perry on that committee. I wanted my congressman, Scott, pardon me, Perry, to be sitting on that committee for one reason. And I've said this repeatedly since it happened. I would have wanted to be one of the people on the panel to go, well, Scott, your name came up. What do you think? You want to address that? You got a question you got something to go along with that? And the part of me, again, that goes back to, you know, why maybe Kevin McCarthy didn't put people on there is because of that. Because, well, there's something not right. Angering and frustrating. Now, the State of the Union is going to be coming up on February 7th. I'm looking forward to this. I want to see what Biden has to say. I want to see what kind of tone he takes. I think that he should be focusing solely on, as we just talked about a minute ago, the economic stuff. How Joe Biden did that. Brought oil prices down, bringing drug prices down, investing in the future, or reshoring manufacturing. Things that you know, advocates, pundits, politicians, people have been talking about for years. We went through 4 years of the Trump administration of every week being an infrastructure week and not getting an infrastructure bill. We went through 4 years of the Trump administration talking about we're going to reshore manufacturing. We didn't. We didn't have a policy to do it. Things don't just happen because you wish and want or because you mean tweet or what is it, or truth now and then retruth and subtruth. Got to have smart policy, sound investment. That's the reality of how good governance happens. And I know we've been trained to hate our government. Because whenever the other side's in, it's Armageddon. Sadly, I look at what Republicans are doing. I don't know. I'm struggling with that. You look at our Supreme Court doing a lot of things that even some of my Republican friends are questioning. Because they're going too far. And this is, again, where Republican friends, bring your party back to somewhere near the sane line. You know, somewhere near just sanity. Because I want to believe again that we all want the same thing. I want to believe again that we all believe in reward for work. I want to believe again that we all believe in family values. I do. I'm just not seeing it. But we can. We can fight for this stuff. Now, it's going to be an interesting couple of days because, you know, these classified documents going to make for interesting TV. Jim Jordan has, well, I don't know if there's an FCC way to phrase it, but he's happy. Let's go with that. Jim Jordan is probably the happiest guy ever because, you know, Biden just gave him a massive gift. Because this is all we're going to hear about for a while. And the other guy who's equally happy is Donald Trump because, well, there's no consequences for him now. Even though you set the two side by side, what Trump did was far worse from what we know now. Even Karl Rove, freaking Karl Rove came out and defended Biden in this. And this is, again, you keep coming back to. We don't hold people accountable. If you found, and if you came and said, this is the proof, there's a direct line to, you know, Hunter Biden got money from the Chinese and the Ukrainians and Joe Biden made it happen, then yeah, we move forward in holding him accountable. It's not going to happen. It's not there, though. They would have found it already. But we've got lines like that for the other guy. But you're going to have McCarthy thinking about expunging impeachments. Fun days ahead. Fun days. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If you got any questions, comments, something on your mind, I want to hear it. miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Also, follow us on social media, at Rick Smith Show on Twitter. Yes, we are still there. We do the Mastodon thing, at Rick Smith Show, or whatever the mast is.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.